Real Money Radio is brought to you today by Holland Financial. Since 1997, David Holland and his team have helped hundreds of investors plan their financial futures. Planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. Come see how simple and clear your future can be when you plan stronger. The consultation is free. Call 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to shift gears, no pun intended, today, talk about another financial topic. You know, anything, well, I have to confess, anything that I can pull into finances, I'm going to do it because doggone it, it makes for fun radio and makes it interesting. I hope you like it. So today, we're going to talk about one of the biggest purchases people will ever make besides their home, and that is buying a car. Are you in the mood for shopping and buying a new car? Do you like it? Do you hate it? Do you rather get something else done, maybe a root canal instead of getting a car? Well, we're going to unwind it and break it down. And I invited somebody that has helped me actually with the purchase of three vehicles over the years. And I'm very pleased to have purchased them from Richie Cadillac Buick GMC. And the gentleman in the studio with me, Larry Kelly, general manager of Richie. So, Larry, welcome to the program.
Thanks, David. It's good to be here.
All right. So it's good to have you, and I got the appropriate disclaimer out there, Larry, that people know that we've done business together, and I appreciate your help and making some good purchases. So let's break it down. You know, was I right about the fact that this is a big deal for people?
Very big deal, David. It is one of the most important purchases you make because they can, you know, kind of alter the course of your financial situation in other major purchases if you overpurchase
you
on your automobile.
Up, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's an emotionally charged thing. Why is that? I'm sure you've seen all kinds of things happen in your building where people come in and they just have all kinds of emotions going on.
Yeah, it is, David. People, especially in our country, love automobiles, but it's starting to grow everywhere. China is a huge emerging market. In the automobile industry.
Are we going to see Richie Cadillac of China?
I don't know, but that's a great idea. We'll have to talk to Glenn.
All right. Yeah. Let's ask Glenn about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's emotional, I imagine, because a couple may have differences of opinion, of course, about what they want to do. They may be stretching themselves, or they may, you know, maybe they don't get enough. They don't qualify for something, maybe the credit, or maybe they don't get as much as they think they should for the trade-in. I know that never happens, right?
Right.
So break it down for us. I guess the key thing I want to get on the program today, Larry, is helping people understand smart things to do when you're buying a car. I mean, let's kind of go through that. What are five of the things or three of the things or what are the top things that come to your mind that people really should be thinking about and do when it comes to buying a car?
Yeah, David, probably the most important thing is to look at their own budget and see what they can afford.
You mean actually start with how much you are willing to afford before you go in the showroom?
That's correct. Amazing. But that's don't come in and let it be too emotional. Go in and research what models are in what price ranges.
Before you go to the
dealership. And come in having an idea. You can ask the salesperson, I looked at a Cadillac ATS online. I saw that it was priced for this. And I also, while I was on your website, right on our website, we have an Auto Trader appraisal tool.
Nice.
And you can go right into our website. You can bring up the Auto Trader appraisal tool. You put in the description of your car, and it will give you a purchase price for your car. It literally will print out a check that you can come in and get cashed for that car.
Really? Even if you weren't?
Even if you're not buying.
Wow.
So it's an actual piece. And some dealers are of the fact, well, I don't want them going to that on my website. But in reality, most consumers, good consumers, are going and checking out those things through Kelley Blue Book,
anyway.
Black Book anyway. So keeping it all up front, it's easier for the salesperson to be able to relate. Because just because your payoff's $20,000 doesn't mean that your car's worth $20,000. It depends on what you structured it at to begin with. And It's easier all around for the consumer and the salesperson and the dealerships if people are a little more educated on it.
Well, that was going to be my next question. It sounds like that the consumer, and of course technology has a lot to do with this,
absolutely,
is that consumers are a lot more knowledgeable now, and you know, dealers have a choice of either being understanding, accepting, and transparent,
right,
or they can still try to play games, and you know, that I think that's a hard road.
Yeah, very, very, very true. And we just rather have it that way. And then you also look at whether cash financing or leasing is better for you. And you know,
does it make a difference to the dealer? Do you guys care?
No.
You don't care?
We do not.
I won't get a better price if I say I'll give you a check right now.
No.
Okay.
It's actually somewhat the opposite.
Really?
Lenders help us by sending them business. In other words, you send SunTrust, for example, a dozen contracts in a month, and maybe that bank, you have someone who's a little more credit challenged,
okay,
but you've done good business with them and they have a good portfolio of business. They may take a harder look at your next deal, even if it's a little credit challenged or something.
Well, you know, there's so much we can get to, and I jump around, Larry, so bear with me. And if you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, Larry Kelly, an excellent human being, a great guy I've worked with. Don't roll your eyes, Larry. It's true.
Thanks.
I really like Larry. He's done very well by me in buying vehicles over the years. He's sharing with us some of the things involved with buying a new car or a used car. And I'm going to jump around a little bit. We all hear the stories. You know, there's the war stories.
Correct.
About auto, and it's also true in my industry about financial people. You know, there's all kinds of stories out there because some do play games. Some car salespeople, just as some financial people or insurance people or investment people play games, and some of them aren't the best, okay? So we'll get that on the table. So do some, because I know you don't work this way, but I'll ask it this way. Do some car salespeople kind of size people up and try to read them and ask them questions to learn about them? I mean, you know, whenever I've dealt with the purchase of a vehicle, if somebody asks me a question I think is irrelevant, I just ask them a question. I don't answer it.
Right, right.
I mean, you know what I'm getting
right,
at?
Right. Yes, I do. And that's... I mean, we try to establish a relationship with a customer and find out if they're local. Are you out of town? Are you a snowbird? You know, or do you live in Daytona Beach? And do try to establish a relationship. I mean, I've been at the dealership 30 years.
Yeah, wow.
I have salespeople that have been selling longer than I've been alive. So, yes, they do build clientele. Some of it can be cheesy or for just purposes to kind of size the person up, but as a whole, you like to qualify people a little bit too when they come
in.
Okay,
so that's part of what it is qualification. Because what I'm thinking of in my mind, and this wasn't not at your dealership, of course, but I've been asked, what do you do? And
correct,
and I'm like, I buy cars. You know, what do you mean? What do I do? Well, let's talk about the vehicle. And you know, I have always been curious about that. Does it matter? You know, you hear about stories about people playing games of, you know, or getting somebody to sit down, and the more you keep them in the box, the greater the chances are.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff is out there, and it's refreshing when people just deal straight.
Yeah, that's old school. I mean, there was actually, I wasn't around. I heard of it called the Hall Dobbs plan, and it was a salesmanship thing, and they took your keys and the manager.
I had to ask for my keys back one time.
Yeah. I mean, we like to take the approach, when I get back from your appraisal, just put the keys right on the desk. Let's not make this the getting your tooth filled or something like that.
I had that happen. And again, it wasn't at your dealership. I had that happen. And I was like, where are my keys?
Yeah.
Oh, so-and-so's got them. I said, well, the conversation stops until I have my keys back. Really? I have to ask?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so that's just some of the stuff that's out there. So it doesn't really, in fact, cash deal, whatever it is.
Cash deal, it's cash flowing for a dealership. You have a business. Cash flow is always good. A check is immediate cash.
Okay.
The way contracts work with banks, I mean, just like if you are placing an insurance policy with outside, you might be an agent, you get a commission back for that contract. We do contracts with banks, and they give us a commission back. I mean, it's online. It's automatic. You put the credit bureau in, they send you a credit rate back and a term, and we actually do your bidding. It's similar to... If you went on like Zillow Mortgage, you give them your information and they'll give you 5 mortgages. We send it to 2 or 3 banks and bing, bing, bing. And, you know, a couple 30 seconds, you have your term, your rate, and what the customer qualifies for, and also what they will finance on that car.
Nice.
Where used cars have to be booked out, some banks will differ. A bank might book by Black Book, one does NADA, one does Kelly. They're all different levels of pricing. So
very good. Very good. If you're just joining us, Larry Kelly's in the studio with me, General Manager Richie Cadillac, and we're going to grab a quick break. We'll come right back.
Here's a newsflash. All financial advisors are not created equal. Some invest in their education by getting advanced degrees and professional certifications. Some don't. Some advisors get multiple licenses and offer a wide range of solutions. Some don't. Some advisors choose to be independent. Some don't. Some advisors disclose how they are paid and the fees they charge. Some don't. Please don't settle for a don't. Let me introduce you to independent advisor David Holland. David is a CPA, a certified financial planner, a personal financial specialist, and a chartered financial consultant. With 23 years financial experience, David offers a wide range of personalized solutions and discloses all fees in writing. Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have Larry Kelly in the studio. He's general manager of Ritchie Cadillac. And one of the other things, of course, we talked about before, Larry, is technology coming through and making a lot of changes. It's affected every industry, my industry, everybody's industry. And the other thing that is a question that I'm sure my listeners would like me to ask you, is there really a difference in price if I do the whole online process as opposed to just coming into the dealership? In other words, sometimes you'll see a dealership run, this is the online price. You have the internet manager and there's a price there versus coming. Will there really be ultimately, if I went through both sides of the process, really going to be any difference?
It can, yes and no.
Okay.
And this is how. If you put an ad in the newspaper, you're not going to put your car in there at its highest price. You're going to put it in there at the newspaper in a price that you want to sell it for. The same with the online, in the virtual showroom. I'm not going to price a car too high on the website so that you overlook it. Most people will price by brackets. I want to see cars in the $18,000 to $20,000 bracket, and I want a 12-model Cadillac CTS. Well, if your car is priced out of that bracket, you're not going to get into their purchase price area. So, yes, there is some online advantages, and also, especially used cars, we will go, instead of taking some car that might be getting age on it after your car's been there 30, 60, 90 days, I'd rather sell that on the internet at a lower price than take it to the auction and lose money on it or sell it there. I'd rather have a customer who builds a customer base who brings back somebody else to your store to buy another car.
Well, we've done business before, Larry, and I've brought a vehicle I had and traded it in, and you guys were able to make that work really well for me. So, I mean, and that's the other question is, do you find that people do better? I know you save the tax money. But people do better trying to just do it, sell, you know, trade it in, have one transaction, or really try to shop around to sell the car and then buy the car from another dealer or try to sell it themselves. I mean, I know personally I can't do all that. I'm not going to do all that. My time, I'm busy. My clients would be very frustrated with me if I'm spending my time doing that instead of doing what I'm supposed to do for them. So what's your take on that?
It is very frustrating in that aspect if you've got to waste a bunch of time doing that. You really don't. The tools that are on the internet, the values that are given there, and as a franchise dealer, we need trade-ins. We will buy your trade, similar to CarMax, same thing we do. People don't know that, but franchise dealers, we need as many trade-ins as we can get. Whether you trade your car in at our store and buy another one or just sell it to us, we will equally give you as much money as we can in that aspect.
That's excellent. And the next question my listeners want me to ask is for you, Larry, and to help. I know that every dealership is different, but when it comes time to buy the car, how much authority does we always hear the story of, well, I got to go talk to the manager and this back and forth thing that happens.
Right.
How much authority does the individual, and again, I know this will vary by dealership, but how much does the individual car salesperson have versus, approving the deal or going to talk to the manager?
Great.
How does that work?
Great question, because it can vary on the salesperson you're dealing with.
Okay.
Some stores have greeters. They just greet you, show you the car, then they've got to do everything through a manager. Some stores, we have a lot of longevity at our store, so we're very blessed in that fact that these guys, they know where they're at. But then when you get into leasing and payments especially,
that's different.
You've got... You change $1,000 down on a lease. If it's a 2-year lease, you can be $50 more a month or less. 39-month lease, you can be $30 to $35. They do need to go back to a manager and put that in. You don't want to get quoting payments on a lease, and leasing is about 50% of our business.
That's a lot. I didn't know it was that high.
Yes.
That's okay.
Yeah. In Miami, in the Miami West Palm Beach area, it's 68%, 70% of their.
Wow. So. Well, that explains why a lot of the leased vehicles are coming off lease in Miami.
Correct. Correct.
So, because, you know, again, we hear stories, and these stories, of course, are embellished over the years, but, you know, about people going back and forth, or, you know, you're walking off the lot, you say no, and then they chase you down and say, you're not going to believe what my manager did, and, you know, this kind of stuff.
Yeah, been there.
And I'm glad that when I, you know, yeah. dealt with you, Larry, on the last vehicle, you know, I was talking to you, and it yeah. went great, but... these stories you hear about, I'm sure you could tell stories and you can make us all laugh for hours about it.
Yeah, absolutely. We go round and round. And honestly, some customers like to do it that way. And I've always been like, hey, if you want to do this, I've been doing in the business 30 years. If this is something you need to do to buy a car and feel good about it, but otherwise, here's the invoice. Here's what the value of your trade is. This is what it is.
At the end of the day, there is going to be, it doesn't matter how many times a customer gets upset or walks away or comes back, or, you know, I've kind of picked on the car dealership side about games being played, but
right.
it's just as much with the customer,
sure.
right?
Sure.
And so it doesn't matter how much pounding you do, there is going to be a minimum price you're going to sell me the car right?
That's correct.
I mean, these typically dealerships, and yours is beautiful, I know that costs money.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, it does. And contrary to popular belief, I mean, you're not going to get $5,000 off on an $18,995 brand new car. We have cars.
The margin's not there.
Yeah, we have cars that have $195 markup in them. You know, $30,000, $40,000 cars that have a $995 markup in them. It's not like the old days where there were $14,000, $16,000. And I've been selling 30 years when there were. And it's changed. And that's why I said we prefer almost as somebody that maybe is not quite on in the car shopping mode as much, go online and take a look and see that there's a cost associated with this vehicle, and it makes it a little bit easier to explain, you know?
Well, let me give you a confession, Larry. I haven't told you this. When I buy a car, and you've experienced three car purchase arrangements yep. for me over the years, my personal goal is to make it as, I have a personal goal to make it as short as possible.
Yeah.
That's my personal goal. You got my number now.
That's good, David. I like that myself.
My personal goal is how fast can yeah. I get this done? Because I have to be careful with my time, yeah. you know, so that's just the way it works. I've even thought, you know, maybe I should put my checkbook in my front pocket.
Yeah.
You know, walk in the store with it there.
That's a good indication that this person wants to move quickly. We've had them with their titles in the front pocket.
Oh,
that's a good sign.
That's a good
yeah.
sign. I mentioned before we started the program, Larry, I said I wanted to mention that I had dealt with other dealerships as well besides Larry, and I got a little sports car because I love sports cars, I have to confess. And, of course, I've got that big Escalade, the ESV that I got from yeah. your dealership, and I love it. And it's huge. It's a tank, and it drives very well. But I also wanted to have something that's my fun car. I've always had a, you know, fascination with sports cars. And when I went to get it, it was a used car. I went to get it. I'd already done my homework. And I went to the dealership and I said, I walked in, they said, we can help you. I said, yes, I'd like to buy a car today.
Imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that. I'm not here to kick tires.
Right.
But, you know, it's funny. I mean, in my world too, I like when people are just straight with me.
Right. And we do too.
I mean, we do. And I would imagine that makes you know, if there is room to work, you know, it makes yeah. it just an easier experience.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. I don't know.
It is. I mean, it depends on there's some generational shopping practices. And,
okay.
and each generation, the younger generation is much quicker. I think they call them the millennials.
Yes.
You know, if it's on the phone and it says that it's supposed to be this, it needs to be on the shelf and for that price and quick and easy and get you in and out. Where some of the generations, even my generation, maybe a little older than that, like to come in, take their time, do a little negotiating, and then at the end of the day, they're not there for banjo lessons. They're there to buy a car. You know, they didn't come out that, you know, they've got a golf tea time in the afternoon. They've
right,
got
right.
early bird dinner
plans
somewhere.
They might not tell you, but they do.
That's correct.
Right.
They're like, hey, we need to get all this done. We've got to get out to the golf course or...
Maybe you could do this as a general statistic for the industry, or maybe even what you've seen, Larry. You know, people that come in, how many are serious? How many people are going to, you know, come into it on the property, look, buy? I mean, how many there are really to buy a car, and how many there are just to kick and maybe not be the most productive use of your time?
Really great question. The industry has changed, actually. For 8 years ago or so, the industry trended towards emails. Everybody wanted to email, send out an email blast, send it to the dealer, get contacted by email. That's not the way it's going now. If an email is initiated, a phone call is the next step. With mobile apps, people will Google your mobile app. They look at your mobile app. They already know that I want to come in and get that ATS, the 2.0 liter turbo with the premium package. You have it on your lot. They call that number, and if it is sitting there and they get the right response on the phone and the right answer, you know, what's the lease program on that car? That's our least advertised special, $299 a month. They'll just pull into your lot. They may be sitting at the Burger King up the street or somewhere, and they're coming right to your lot. So the percentage of pulling in the lot and buying that day within an hour or two is far greater than it ever used to be.
So with your business, then, I would imagine, Larry, it's a little more being nimble and kind of, you know, responding to these things coming
Correct.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Well, it's good stuff. Let's grab one more quick break, and we'll be back with Larry Kelly talking about buying a car. Larry is general manager of Ritchie Cadillac. We'll be right back.
Does getting financial advice seem like a game of cat and mouse? Then maybe it's time to hire a fiduciary. What's a fiduciary? That's a financial professional who puts the needs of his clients ahead of his own. Being a fiduciary also means that the advisor should recommend the products and services he believes will best serve his client's needs, not what an insurance or investment company tells him he has to sell. So next time you're talking to an advisor, ask him, "Are you a fiduciary?" The answer should only be yes or no. If the advisor doesn't know, then the answer is probably no. This public service announcement has been brought to you by Holland Financial. We want to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting the lowdown. We're getting the honest, candid conversation from Larry Kelly. 30 years in the auto business. Longer than that, or?
30 this year.
30. Wow. General manager of Ritchie Cadillac, and he has earned his stripes. So we're getting some candid conversation. And so the other thing that a lot of people want to understand, Larry, and I'm one of them, is service. Service after the sale, right?
That's
so
correct.
If I've got a vehicle, regardless of what kind of vehicle it is, am I better off getting it done by the dealership, or is it okay for me to get it done somewhere else maybe that might handle my kind of vehicle?
David, that's a great question. Again, there are great independent shops out there, don't get me wrong, but with the electronics, the technology that are in these cars nowadays,
mobile computers,
that's correct.
Yeah,
that's correct. We have check engine lights that are on. People that would come in, we'll tell them what the diagnostic is. Some of our technicians have been to school for a couple hundred hours by the end of a year to train on certain cars. So we tell them that, hey, you need this, this, and that. It's going to be $535. They call the independent somewhere out there, and the guy says, hey, it's going to be, you know, three something. So they said, well, you were charging me too much, so I got it done somewhere else. 2 weeks later, we get the customer back because a GM part or a Ford part or a Hyundai part wasn't used in that process, and it's not going to work with the car well. The manufacturers are getting smarter, too. They buy more of the patents for these parts so that you can't make knockoff aftermarket parts. But I will tell you that once a month or twice a month, Jim Lloyd from the Lloyd family, that was in business forever as our service manager, and we go through it once a month with something that it may be more that we fix for somebody else who good intentions in trying to get it done, just didn't have the right technology or the right diagnostic equipment to do the job correctly or the training.
I know people want to save money, Larry, and we all do. You
Absolutely.
Know, nobody wants to waste money on purpose, but there's something to be said for putting a value on your time and your stress and your life. And when my service light goes on or the mileage is up, I know I might as well push the button and let it do a beacon back to your dealership because I'm not lifting the hood. I want you to do whatever needs to get done so it stays and it maintains. And that when it comes time to trade it in, which will be for another one of your vehicles, you know, you pulled the service record. You've got it. I know that's going to affect the trade-in because you've got all the service record on it. That makes a difference, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does. And it makes a difference to the factory. If you've done all your maintenance, you've done all your proper care through the dealership, GM has a record of it. Say you're somewhat a little bit out of warranty or something, or there's an item that was fixed before that comes back again 20,000 miles afterwards, they'll look at that whole portfolio of business and say, okay, God, David's been a good, loyal GM customer. maybe we should throw some goodwill out there and take care of this for him.
I like
and
that.
That helps us as a dealership that GM has those policies in place.
That's very good. Very good. Larry Kelly, ladies and gentlemen, general manager at Ritchie Cadillac. And we're super glad to have him in the studio. And a website, if you haven't been to the Ritchie Cadillac website, Ritchie Cadillac, BuickGMC.com. Visit, and there's some good stuff there. And Larry, thanks for being on.
David, thank you for having us.
All right, our pleasure.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.